Today we continue the journey that we started several weeks ago, our summer road trip, this journey with Jesus that we're taking over the next few weeks. We received Jesus' invitation to join him. We've presented several excellent reasons why we can't. We've accepted our mission from God and have discovered that sometimes we might encounter interruptions that are actually invitations to meet God in a new way. All of this is pretty tiring. So as it is with any long journey, today is time for a rest stop. While the disciples didn't have a Buc-ee's, they had something that was just as good, the home of friends. So let's hear our gospel lesson from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Luke's story about the visit of Jesus to the home of Mary and Martha is almost guaranteed to stir up an argument. To begin with, there's already an argument going on in the midst of our text. And over the years, there's been countless arguments about the story. Here's what happened to start it all off. As Luke tells it, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and one day he stops at a village where two sisters, Mary and Martha, are living, and Martha takes the initiative. She invites Jesus into her home, makes him comfortable, and begins to make as fancy a meal as she can. Now, there's nothing unusual about this, showing hospitality, welcoming guests, feeding them well. Well, that sounds downright Southern, doesn't it? It's who we are. It's what we do. But while she's busy working away at the food, her sister Mary does something unusual. Normally, in the ancient world, all of the adult women would have been in the kitchen together, sharing the duties of preparing the meal. But Mary has chosen to sit quietly at Jesus' feet, like a student or a disciple would, and listens intently to what Jesus has to say. Well, Martha finally gets to the point where she's had about all she can stand. And here's where the argument starts. You would think that she would go to Mary and sort of between clenched teeth said, "Get in the kitchen and help me." But that's not what she does. She goes straight to Jesus. Instead, she reprimands him and says, "Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all of the work? Tell her that she's got to come and help." Now, some people wear bracelets. You might have had one. You might still have one marked, "What would Jesus do?" We're thinking in this story, maybe he should be wearing, "What should Jesus do?" What should Jesus do in this situation? What should he do? I mean, there he is in the middle of an argument between sisters, And you know whatever he does is not going to end well, right? Mary's sitting at his feet. Martha is over here saying, Mary needs to come over here and help. She's got her hands still wet with bread dough on her hips. Jesus, tell her to come help me. Tell Mary to get up off the floor. Somebody's got to help me prepare the lamb and the pilaf. This is how it goes. So should Jesus defend himself? Should he reassure Martha that he really does care? Should he recognize that Martha's made a good point? Or should he pull a Jesus-like surprise and say, you need help in the kitchen? I'll go help. That would be a twist on the story. What should Jesus do in this situation? What he does, and what sort of bothered people down through the years, what he does is to gently scold Martha right back and apparently take Mary's side in the dispute. Martha, Martha, he says, and I can't read that without hearing the Brady Bunch, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. Martha, Martha, he says, you are worried and distracted by many things. Now note, being interrupted and being distracted are two different things. You're distracted by many things. There's need for only one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part. Why does Jesus say this? Why does he say this to hardworking Martha, who is in the kitchen working hard, doing her best to provide some hospitality? Some have said maybe it's Jesus' way of criticizing what we might call busy work Christianity. That Martha's so preoccupied with her chores that she's missed a deeper spiritual point. Stop being so busily religious and start being more spiritual like Mary is sort of what we hear the echoes of Jesus saying. Now, I understand that, but I'm not buying it. The institutional church can have its faults, but it doesn't take away from the fact that the Christian faith is never abstract. It's always in solid embodied active form. After all, God didn't send a dreamy Valentine with pink glitter saying, hello world, I love you. God's love letter came in the form of Jesus, who dwelled among us, who got involved in the messy details of everyday life, who taught and healed and touched and ate and gathered and died and rose in bodily form. The incarnation means that the place to find God is not in abstract thoughts, but in the physical living out of the what would Jesus do. I think about the Vacation Bible School workers who arrived early every night this week so they could set out markers and greet the children and prepare the music and fix the snacks, set up experiments and games. I think of you, those of you who cook and serve Wednesday lunches for community lunch, for those of you who offer hospitality at Jason's house every week. I think of our youth and our adults who in this very moment are on their way to a week of serving in Salkehatchie summer service up on roofs, repairing shingles in this heat. Busy work? I don't think so. I think it's the form that faith and love can take. I can't imagine Jesus saying to any of these people, "You people are preoccupied with things that don't matter. Leave the children, leave the needy, leave the ill, leave the lonely behind. Come and sit with me for a while. Be spiritual, but not too religious. This is the better part." The thing is, you can't separate the two. Over here is love of God, and somewhere over there is love of a neighbor. In the Christian life, they're always intertwined. They're always mixed together. You can't tell where one ends and the next one begins. We show our love of God by loving our neighbor, and the true love of neighbor grows out of our love for God. They're two sides of the same coin. And that, I think, gets us to the heart of this Mary and Martha story. There's nothing wrong in and of itself with Martha fixing the food. That's the way people show love and hospitality and care. There's nothing wrong. In fact, there's something essential about showing love of God and neighbor by breaking bread and washing the olives, by putting those bottles of glue out for the children's Sunday school and nailing those shingles in the hot summer sun for Salkehatchee and serving the meatloaf. Martha, in preparing a meal, is doing a good thing. A necessary thing. But if we get busy doing this kind of thing apart from the life-giving word of God found in the Gospels, apart from the vision that only comes from God, it will distract us and will finally wear us down. Mary has chosen to listen to the word. Jesus, the living word, is present right there in her house. And if she's going to love God and to love neighbor, if she's going to show hospitality to the stranger and care for the lost, then everything depends on hearing and trusting that word. What word did Mary hear at Jesus' feet? What was the word that she heard from Jesus? What is the word that we hear from Jesus? "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Peace be with you. Do not be afraid." What we hear from Jesus is that our lives are gathered into God's life. That God is out there in the world healing and feeding and restoring, and therefore what we do for others counts. Really counts. And we can trust God and live in hope for God's future. This is indeed an incredible journey. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, as we come to prayer, we especially remember our youth and adults. They are listed in your bulletin insert, so you can pray for them by name every day this week, and I hope that you will. They are headed to Newberry, South Carolina. They left at 7:30 this morning, so we hold them in our prayers in these days. If you have an unspoken request, would you please lift your hand as we come together in prayer so we can pray for each other? Let us pray. You've taught us, gracious God, that the way to life is to love you and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Sometimes we get so overwhelmed by the demands of life that we can't really do either one well. But in your mercy, there's Jesus who comes to speak to us in the midst of life. This day, as we gather in this place, may we sit at his feet and listen to his word that gives us new life. And then once we've heard that word, let us, like Martha, get up to serve others. In Jesus' name, we pray today for all who are out being the hands and feet of Jesus in the world, even in these moments, those who provide for us, those who care for us, those who are preparing for us and our needs later on in this day. We are grateful for them and ask that in these moments you would bless them. We pray for those who need the sound of your voice to hear your word. Help us to so reflect Jesus that they might see it in us. Gracious God, we pray for those whom we love, who are ill or infirm of body, of mind, or of spirit, and ask that your healing touch might rest upon them. We pray for those who walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and for those who have lost ones whom they love. Support and bring comfort to them as well. Gracious God, we come to this place this day with needs and concerns on our hearts. In these moments, we lift them up to your throne of grace and mercy, knowing that you are at work for good in every situation. Hear our prayers this day, for we make them in the name of your Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and pray together as he taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.